I asked Doreen Virtue, who people know. If you don't know Doreen Virtue, she was known as Queen of the Oracle Card. She used to write New Age books and have all these angel card decks and tarot card decks. Mm-hmm. And she was a practicing medium for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Hay House Book Publishing, all-time bestseller. She did this full-time as her career. You know, probably one of the best-selling New Age authors ever. Certainly within the realm of like mediumship and divination, easily the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I asked her. She came to Christ recently. There's a video on my channel going through an interview with her, going over her testimony. But I asked her, why do you think, Doreen, as someone who was in New Thought for like 40 or 50 years and someone who practiced and taught New Age spirituality and divination for a living for two decades,
mm-hmm.
now that you've been saved and you've repented, why do you think the New Age movement is so prevalent right now in our culture and in our churches? And I want to go over some of the reasons she gave me. One of them was she said biblical illiteracy. You know, she said that a study that she read, only 5% of Christians have read the whole Bible.
Mm.
And so they don't, the Bible says in Hosea, you know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge.
Yep.
You know, we simply don't know what the Bible says about these things
mm-hmm.
because we haven't read it.
Yeah.
Right? And so we're under-equipped because we haven't read it. And I think that's a really big reason why it's able to have such a big stronghold in our lives
mm-hmm.
and the lives of our family and in our churches, because who in church reads the Bible regularly?
Yeah.
I mean,
and in a way that's actual study that they can understand what's being talked about. I used to read the Bible as a chore because I thought I was supposed to, but I didn't understand what I was reading most of the time. We actually just covered this in Chalk Talk recently too. And it blows my mind. Like, I personally, there have been some Chalk Talk topics that we've covered where I've thought beforehand that this seems pretty basic 101 Christianity. I don't know how this is going to help anybody. And those are usually the most popular ones. Like, I'm constantly surprised by how, and I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, or I'm not saying that, like, you know, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I am trying to, you know, put out a wake-up call. I'm constantly surprised by how, just there's no non-insulting way to say it, how little the church knows about topics. And I love all my Christian brothers and sisters. That's why I spend so much time trying to teach people and instruct people. That's why you do too. But it still doesn't change the fact that many Christians today, you know, I think probably your audience and my audience are more informed than the majority, but just taking like mainstream Christianity, how ill-informed they are about very basic tenets of Christianity. And right. I think that's why they don't read the Bible, because they don't know how. They don't know how to break down a verse and see what it means and take it in context. It's not really a book that you just sit and read. You can, but I don't know how much you're really going to get out of that without knowing culturally what was going on at the time and just all the context that's involved.
And it's sad because a lot of professing Christians, they've went to post-secondary.
Yeah.
They have university degrees. They've been studying chemistry and molecular biology and computer science and economics. Like, mm-hmm. they're educated. They're smart. They have high IQs.
They know how to study.
They're capable, but
yeah.
for some reason, they don't treat the Bible as something that's worthy of studying.
Yep.
And then they don't know how to interpret these verses, like, is it not written that ye are gods, which we address it in the book, or, you know, the kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
They hear one New Age teacher put some kind of, you know, mystical spin on that, and they're sold.
Yep.
Another reason Doreen gave is the allure of self-glorification and non-accountability. We already talked about non-accountability and mm-hmm. how that's just a sham. You're accountable whether you know it or not. But the self-glorification where you are told...
Talk about a cancer, just the whole idea of that.
Right. Where you're told, you know, that you are God by nature,
mm-hmm.
that God is the substance of your being. He is, you know, inseparable from you. You
mm-hmm.
know, Wayne Dyer told Oprah in an interview one time, you know, it's the ego who says, I'm separated from people. I'm separated from what matters to me. I'm separated from God. You know, in reality, you're one with God. You're one with God. You're one with the universe. God, God is the highest part.
Isn't that nice that it takes out your individual responsibility? You know, right. You're not even really an individual at that point.
Right.
You're already great how you are.
Right. Yeah, you're God by nature.
Yeah.
You just need to align yourself with that dimension, that substance, that being, that essence that's already in you.
And if people buy into that, that strips away, that robs them of their opportunity to grow and mature and to get better spiritually. Because if you're already God, then you're fine. You just need to focus on realizing how good you are, you know, realizing how much God you are.
Right. You need a shift in consciousness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you're not focusing on trying to be a better person or trying to, you know, you're not focusing on how you're treating people in personal relationships or any of that. I was a jerk when I was in the New Age.
Oh, I was awful.
Oh, man. And I didn't realize it at the time because I just thought I was realizing my true potential and, you know, all this stuff. It was just really inward focused. And because of that, I wasn't focused on anyone around me. Christianity is completely different than that. You know, we're supposed to serve others and put others' needs above our own. And if we focus on anybody, we focus on Christ and do what he did. And a big part of that is personal responsibility. We're supposed to pick up our cross and follow him. And there's growth and maturity there, but that's what makes it real and exciting. You know,
right.
We're not good just how we are. We're never going to be until we pass on to the next life. But if we're in Christ when that happens, but right. We do have the opportunity every day to get better than we were the day before. That's exciting to me.
Right. And how, you know, tempting is it for, you know, it's really the same lie that was told in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
You know, that if you partake of some kind of knowledge, whether that's secret knowledge, mm-hmm. knowledge of good and evil,
yep.
you partaking in this knowledge, maybe it's self-knowledge. That's mm-hmm. how that's advertised in the New Age movement. You partaking in this self-knowledge, you will become as God.
Yeah.
You will be able to say, I am a God. Mm-hmm. Right?
And that's as if knowledge is the only thing that, you know, gives that title.
Right. So it's an awareness. They believe that enlightenment is a person coming into an awareness of a pre-existing truth mm-hmm. that already dwells within them. Mm-hmm. Namely, that all is one, all is God, that God is all. And the Bible is explicit in a creator-creation distinction.
Man, that's right.
Man is absolutely not God. We already talked about that. But there is this tempting, the ego likes to think of itself as being sort of a fragment of the creator, mm-hmm. when it's not.
Yeah.
He made you in his image, which means you have a certain status. Mm-hmm. You have a certain psycho-emotional makeup.
Yeah.
But you are not a part of God. Mm-hmm. You are not one with God. Mm-hmm. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're alienated from the life of God. You're devoid of the Spirit. You know, you are without.
If you were one with God already, then why would the Holy Spirit ever need to dwell in you? I mean, there's a definite distinction in Scripture between the Holy Spirit and you. You know, there's a relationship, but it's not at all the same thing. There's definitely a creator-creation difference.
Right. Another reason Doreen gave was impatience, the desire for a quick answer.
Oh, yeah.
Makes people turn to divination. It's kind of like fast food.
Yeah.
It's like when people are hungry, you know, they
think, right this minute.
I need food right now.
Yep.
And when people see, you know, the gospel, when they hear the gospel, when they read Scripture, they're thinking, I have way too much to process in myself to be, you know, honest with myself about mm-hmm. and others around me about. I have too much to face. I want supernatural sustenance now.
That was actually an excuse an atheist friend of mine gave me when I was trying to witness to him, and I was saying, you know, because he wasn't pushing back a whole lot on really any of it. And I was telling about Lee Strobel and the case for Christ and, you know, all this really good apologetic stuff. And I was like, and then he almost got into a car accident, and it would have killed him if he was in this car accident. This was back in Michigan. We have terrible winters there, and the roads get really icy. Well, you're from Canada. It's probably worse where you're from. But he almost died in this car accident, and he called me and told me about it. And, you know, that just kind of turned into a conversation about, you know, the afterlife and heaven and hell and God and all this stuff. And we ended up talking about that for about 3 days. And when I finally asked him, like, what do you think is stopping you from, you know, even just trying this out, you know, at least, well, what do you have to lose? Because if you're right, then when we die and that's it. You know, we're just gone, which that to me sounds like hell. Like, I can't even imagine. Can you imagine what just total non-existence would be like? It'd be like before you were born, you know? Like the 60s or 70s for us. Like, it's just so alien and weird. Like, I know that existed, but I wasn't there. And I can't imagine that. But so if my atheist friend is right, then that's it for everybody, no matter what you do. You know, you, me, and Hitler all have the same oblivion afterlife thing that doesn't exist. Great. But if I'm right, there's a real heaven, there's a real hell, and the choices that you make on earth in regards to Jesus determine where you're going to end up. And so I asked him, you know, even just considering the possibility I might be right on this, and I gave him several reasons why, not just feelings and stuff, but, you know, historical stuff about Jesus, the whole prophecy thing in the Bible and all this stuff. I said, what is stopping you? And he said, he actually told me, and I wasn't able to talk him out of it, but he told me, you know, I'll probably commit when I know more about it, you know. And I was like, I don't want to say his name, but I told him, you know enough right now.
Right.
You know, you're never going to, if that's your standard, you will never convert. You will never try it out. And, you know, try it out might not be the right, but, you know, if you're talking to an atheist and just trying to get him over the finishing line, then, you know, you say stuff like that sometimes. But I said, if you're not going to do it now, you already know more about it than most atheists do, because you have a Christian as a friend and you've tolerated me for years. But if that's not enough to get you there, it's not about your knowledge. It's not about what you know. That is not what's going to ascend you. It's about faith. You know, it's about having faith and trying to, you know, give Jesus a chance in your life and riding that out and seeing what's going to happen. And I said, there's no harm in that.
Right.
And then if you do get into a car accident and die, you're okay.
Yeah.
Or you've been right the whole time and you're in oblivion no matter what you do. So
right.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how that doesn't lead to nihilism every single time. That, you know.
Yeah.
But
I would say that, so basically what you're putting forth there, it's called Pascal's wager.
Yeah.
So it's basically, if you have two paths,
mm-hmm.
and if there's a 50-50 chance on either path that the one you choose is going to be correct, if it's equal
mm-hmm.
in its probability for being true, then you are justified and rational to choose the path which you believe will best serve your welfare.
Right.
But in Christianity, it's not even a 50-50 path.
It's not. And that's why I told him, like, you know more about Christ right now than most atheists. You know more about Christ than you do your own atheism. Because I was giving him challenges and asking him, well, what about this? And, you know, just some of the basic atheist challenges that a Christian might give that atheists can't really answer, because most of them haven't really thought about these things. And he couldn't answer any of them. And I said, you right now know more about Christianity than your own belief system, which is atheism. You know, atheism isn't a lack of a belief system. It is
right.
a belief system.
Sure.
And so you can't go through life without just not believing in anything. Like, you'd have to be in bed all day. You would be in such a state that you couldn't even believe that getting up and making yourself something to eat will sustain you throughout the day. So what is the point? That's why I said, I don't know how. This is why atheism is not what atheists say it is. Otherwise, it would lead to nihilism every time. Sometimes it does, and you get people that shoot up schools and just ridiculous stuff like that. But there is a belief system there. There is a type of, not faith in Christ, but there's a type of faith in that what they believe is right, and that
right.
sort of keeps them going.
There's a faith that, you know, the design that's present in creation, that the fine-tuning of the universe, the beginning
mm-hmm.
of the universe, the applicability of mathematics to the universe, the historical claims regarding the resurrection of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
The existence of objective moral values and duties,
mm-hmm.
the existence of human consciousness, the existence of the laws of logic, religious experiences, and so forth. You have to have faith that there's a natural physical explanation for all those things
yep.
that has nothing to do with anything beyond nature.
That's right.
That's absolute faith.
yeah.
That's a positive claim that there is no supernatural reality, and you have to have faith in that positive claim.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to clarify too, just for viewers, when you're talking about, like, I guess give Jesus a chance or kind of
yeah, it's not a flippant thing.
Right.
Like, it's not like
you need to repent and believe the gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
God, and I mean that, God had patience and allowed ignorance for a certain time, and now commands everywhere all men must repent.
Amen. So there's years and actually like about a decade and a half of conversation between me and my friend, where he knows, even today he knows, what is required if he is going to go down this path. So he's not by any stretch of the imagination thinking that he can give it a chance in the sense of, like, I'll pray to Jesus and we'll see what happens. It's not that. He already knows, because he's had me as a friend for this long. He already knows it means repentance. It means you're going to follow Jesus and not yourself.
You're basically saying, why not?
Yeah, like, but yeah, and that's what it is.
What's the reason not to?
Why not? You know, and I think it really does come down to the moral aspect, because, you know, I think for him, part of it, I don't think so as much anymore. So I think he's kind of growing up now. But back then, like in times of high school and stuff, I know the sex thing was like a big deal.
Right.
It'd be, well, you know, you probably shouldn't be sleeping with girls that you just meet, and you know, that doesn't really jive with the Christian walk, you know. And he never really drank or got into drugs or anything like that. But I think that might have been an aspect of he would know if he was going to commit to this, he'd have to give that up. You know, he would have some cleaning up to do, just like I did.
Right.
And I don't think that he's been ready to make that repentant choice, because I think he thinks he'll be missing out. You know, he'll be giving all this up for nothing, which tells me that he doesn't have enough faith to give it a try. And that's why I try to give him all these arguments. But so when I say, you know, give Jesus a try, or, you know, try it out, I don't mean that as just a flip. I would never use that argument with like an atheist I meet the first day. And
right.
This is only because we've had all these background conversations, and he knows absolutely what would be required. And I'm hoping, actually, guys out there, people, you don't need to know his name, but God does pray for him, because I've been seeing a change in him the past couple of years, where he's adopting more and more Christian values. Now, that's not going to get him saved. He still hasn't made that step yet, but I have high hopes for him, and I've seen a lot of growth and maturity in him that lean towards that way. So he needs a lot of prayer. He's actually been asking me for prayer, which he's never done. He's never humbled himself enough, because he used to be more of a kind of annoyingly egotistical, prideful kind of guy. But I've always kept him around, because I've felt like it would be worth it. A lot of that is gone. Really, basically, all of that is gone. And
it's a lot of pride that's gone. That's a big reason why people avoid New Age spirituality, avoid Christianity and choose New Age spirituality, is because it allows them to shape a life around their pride.
Yeah, and he's been listening to more people online, prominent speakers that are either Christian or at least conservative. Like, he's way more conservative now in his views than he used to be, which that typically will happen with people when you get older, and especially if you're looking up stuff on politics. He's always been interested in that. So, but he's adopting more conservative views, which, again, none of that's going to get him saved, you know, obviously. But it's all at least a step in a good direction, where he might be more willing to, you know, accept that now. But yeah, he's been asking me for prayer, which he's never done. And so it's been, I've seen a lot of positive changes. And I think given enough time, if the Lord will tarry with him, you know, if the Lord is patient with him, I think he'll get there. But, you know, he's not there yet. So I just ask for prayers for him.
It's unfortunate that it doesn't have to be this way, but it takes a long time for human pride to be broken down.
Yeah. And this has been 15 years we've been friends.
Right. And it took me a long time in the New Age movement, a lot of suffering, a lot of me destroying my life and the lives of people around me, to just bend my knee and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a wreck. I'm a mess.
Yes.
Instead of having this stupid story I was telling myself in my head about, yeah, everything's fine. No, you just got a little cleanup to do. No, you know you have a relationship with God. You know, you feel his presence when you're in nature and when you're on mushrooms and when you're meditating. You know, these stupid affirmations, these positive affirmations I was telling myself that served no purpose in my life except to cloud me and prevent me from seeing my own depravity. And I knew that in Scripture, there was wisdom in Scripture that would confront the lies I was telling myself.
Yep.
Not only the sin that I was committing against other people and against God, but even the lies, the stories I was telling myself about how I had everything together and how I was going to do it all on my own. I was going to turn this ship around on my own. And, you know, people have this false idea that there is reward in sticking to your own lordship.
Yeah.
Like, if you choose your lordship over Jesus Christ, there's going to be more in that for you than if you were to just give your life over to him. But, you know, if you are going to be the Lord of your life, You're the only source of inspiration you have.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only healer you have. You're your only defense. You're your only source of nourishment. That's why people in New Age, they're always in addiction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're always in addiction. They're always in drugs. They're always in, mm-hmm. They're constantly chasing the next experience over and over and over again because they're a dried up well.
Yeah. If you are your own God, you picked the most dismal God imaginable, because where is that going to lead you? Who has truly ever improved in a way that's consistent with the biblical Christ? Because, a lot of them will say that, Christ was his own God, and, so we can do that too, and he taught us how to do that. Who has ever improved in a consistent way with who Christ was? Who has taken that stance that they are their own God? No one does. Like, for all the reasons that you brought up, many of them are in addictive behaviors,
and even if they did improve, that's mm-hmm. not evidence that they're in the truth.
Right. And that's why I say improve in a way that's consistent with who Christ is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If you are, nobody approves according to God's standard.
That's right.
Nobody comes closer to, I'm almost in, like, every single day you're living in constant perpetual sin.
Mm-hmm.
You're failing to love God and others constantly
yep.
to his standard. So this idea that you can just take little itty bitty steps towards being a better person
mm-hmm.
and, say prayers to the universe and that's sufficient for salvation or for God's blessing and favor upon your life. Like, God has given us an instructional manual on what he wants from us and demands and commands from us. And the people in the New Age movement, they think that I'm going to have all the spiritual experiences I want without the accountability. I'm going to be God over my life
mm-hmm.
Without having to bend the knee.
Yeah.
I'm going to have, I don't have questions coming from the church that sufficiently address these things. Therefore, I'm going to choose a path of spiritual apostasy mm-hmm. from the God that I know exists. Sometimes people will use that as an excuse
yeah.
to remain apostate.
Yep.
They'll say, the church isn't giving me answers.
Everybody else's fault.
It's everybody else's fault. I have general revelation of a God who I know is holy by nature and knows a certain standard of righteousness and who has given me a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use the church's lack of response to my questions as mm-hmm. justification for remaining in willful rebellion
yeah.
to the God I know exists.
Most non-Christians, the reason that they give why they're not Christians is because they will say that some Christian has hurt them before, or they don't like how pastors are like money hungry, or they don't like the Crusades, or all of the things that Christianity has done. I won't even get into it, but there are videos. Just look it up. People need to know their history. It's not what the atheists are trying to say it was at all. But they'll listen to an atheist, or they'll listen to these arguments, and they'll say, religion is like the major cause of all wars on earth. Like, they'll use these ridiculous things, but all it comes back down to is it's somebody else's fault why I am the way that I am. I'm not a Christian because they, Christians, did this. Either somebody in their life, usually it's somebody in their life, or some historical thing or a combination of the both. But that's not virtuous. In no belief system would that ever be considered virtuous. I guess maybe in severe leftism, victimhood is a virtue. but in any sound logic, like, that's not a virtue. That's something to overcome. If you were a victim in some way, you should be actively trying to overcome that, not stay in that victimhood and just. But because I think a lot of the reason too is, like, New Age, they're not gonna teach you how to overcome that stuff. They'll teach you how to think you have, or how to just accept it and learn some, new spiritual tricks or something. And they'll teach you how to distract from it. That's right. What they'll do. They won't teach you how to deal with, like, whatever is causing your depression or your anxiety, or maybe you're abused and you have, like, issues because of that. And New Age will just distract you away from it. But that problem is still not dealt with, and it's underlying, and it's going to affect your judgment on things. And the more you're distracted, the longer it's festering there and making things worse. Whereas with Christianity, you actually get steps on how to deal with that stuff because you have an individual responsibility to do that. And Christ helps us through that. I was physically abused as a child. And in New Age, that was never dealt with. it was just, I was just distracted from it. And I thought, well, I have overcome this because I'm not thinking about it as much. What I didn't realize, though, is it was festering just in my unconscious or, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
But it was festering for years and years and years and years. And I didn't actually deal with it until I gave my life to the Lord and started following Jesus. And there came a time where I just had to deal with that. And sometimes that takes a long time. My wife has a similar story to that. So your problems aren't going to be dealt with in a belief system that doesn't value the individual, but values more the group. And Christianity is a very individualistic religion. And that's what blows my mind when like atheists will say that Christianity is a cult. How is it that when the biggest tenet of Christianity is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Right.
You know, it's not about identifying as a Christian or being a part of any group or any, that's why like I personally, I'm non-denominational. Like I can't just pick a denomination because all of them, they have something that I agree with and something that I don't agree with, you know?
Right.
Because it's not about the group. It's about your personal relationship with Jesus and then our fellowship with one another. Yeah, that's one of the main differences with Christianity that I think a lot of atheists miss is that it really does focus on the individual of Jesus, you know, him as a person, but also us as believers and how we can get to know God on a personal level, more personal than any other relationship you're ever going to have.
Right. It says in the Bible.